May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Corinth, the crossroads of the Roman Empire, the city that never sleeps, not New York, but Corinth. Trade and wealth of all kinds flowing through the port and into the homes of those around. The city builds on its success in commerce and the arts, such as bronzes and pottery, and as such draws a wealth of immigrants. The city is a melting pot of different cultures and faiths, vibrant and full of exciting diversity. Maybe you have a picture of that city, the city of Corinth, all that vibrance and all that excitement in that place. Just sit with that image for a moment. Because it's to this city that early in the year 50 BC, no, AD, sorry, someone else arrives. This someone else is a powerful orator, and he begins to tell the story of a man who was crucified and risen, and who has personally called him to be an apostle, someone who is a pioneering advocate for the gospel of Christ. Imagine as he arrives in this city, not quite knowing what he's supposed to be doing, standing on the quayside, looking around, looking at all the different people, the sounds, the smells, the sights. This someone is Paul. It is 20 years now since Jesus' death and resurrection, and some 17 years after his own call. You see, even Paul, when he had a blinding Damascus Road experience, took his time in trying to work out where and what God wanted of him. Paul arrives in this melee of cultures and starts to preach powerfully, and a community of believers is formed. If Acts 18, verse 11 is correct, then it seems that Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, nurturing the church until he goes on his way across the Aegean to Ephesus. It is from there that he writes what we know as the first letter to the Corinthians. Although it probably wasn't his first letter, that one seems to have been lost. The letter is to these believers he has nurtured, a group of mostly Gentiles who Paul characterizes as being devoted to idols. But then the temptations of the city were vast and many. The idols of sex, money, food, and drink, all in excess, are easy to access. The religious festivities put on to celebrate the city's 24 temples, altars, and shrines would have been a massive draw. Who doesn't like a party and a carnival? So whilst he is with them, Paul, along with a few Jews, such as Sosthenes, who's mentioned at the very beginning of the first letter to Corinthians, and mentioned in that salutation that Heather just read to us, Prisca, Aquila, and Apollos, managed to re-socialize the believers. Through their teaching and preaching, they begin to help this church of people see that Christ is for all, not just for the Jewish nation. Christ came to the Gentiles as well. His blood is for all of us, and it is through his blood that they and we become heirs to the promise of God. They set about showing how Christ is the fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament, perhaps. They set about showing that God's promise is not just for the children of Abraham as seemingly chosen, but through Christ and his death and resurrection, the gate of glory has been opened for all. Can you imagine hearing this news for the first time? Can you imagine how powerful and life-changing the promise of grace, forgiveness, and love would have been in a city like Corinth to a people who thought themselves pretty poor? Paul acknowledges that the believers in Corinth, his little church that he is nurturing, were generally not the wise and powerful, not of noble birth, but ordinary people trying to get through the day. Corinth had built a reputation not only for excessive living, but for possessing wealth without culture and for abusing its poor. Imagine then being invited to be part of something that you had thought was not for you. Imagine stepping into the house of Gaius. We know he was one of the few richer believers, as we are told he could house meetings of the whole church in his house. Imagine being told that you are loved unconditionally and welcomed as brothers and sisters. Here is a new family for you, one you can belong to, and one we know that would look out for you. You have a place of belonging way before you confess a belief. I was thinking about this morning, particularly. I'm thinking how perhaps we as Christians have become so conditioned to hearing the gospel that we've forgotten what a massive shock it would have been to these people. To hear Paul preach so powerfully about his own testimony must have left them astounded. And I was wondering, what would it take? What do we need to remind us of the shocking imperative of the gospel? Of the turned upside down nature of God, of saying the poor and the abused and those out on the edges of society are the ones who can belong. It is no longer for the rich, the powerful, and those who have access to the religious authorities. It is for everyone. What is it that might shake us from our complacency and wake us up? Some would say the last few months have done that, and that is true. More people have clicked on prayer on the Church of England website than I think anybody ever thought would be the case. More people have turned to God in this time. But it's quite easy to see how quickly people are now disappearing as life goes back to normal. Pandemics and crises always shock us and wake us up. But how do we hold on to that wokenness? How do we go, oh, actually, I really see it for what it is now? How do we live with that awakeness and alertness in our own lives today? Paul wakes those people in Corinth up to a new reality. And yes, it is one that comes with responsibility. They are to turn away from the idols and the excesses of life in the city and to forget their divisions and be united. We are told in the verses just after this passage, in the same mind and the same purpose. It seems that whilst he was with them, they were able to keep the faith, continue to be united in a common cause. But when he left for Ephesus, things begin to go wrong. Divisions over theology and purpose of the church creep in. Some saying, I belong to Paul. Others saying, I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. He asks them then, has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Each of them has been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is the one who has been crucified for them and who lives to intercede for them now. He exhorts them to remember this, the heart of their faith and what they believe. All the other stuff is paraphernalia and idolatry. The letter is asking them to keep awake to the enriching presence of Christ in their lives. They have been given, he writes, the grace of God in Christ Jesus and have been enriched in him in speech and in knowledge, and it is this testimony that will strengthen them. if they stay awake to the remembrance of Christ and the grace they have so freely been given, then they will see the revealing of Jesus Christ when he returns, and they will be given the strength to persevere. This letter, written some nearly 2,000 years ago now, far, far away from a city named Gloucester in another part of the Roman Empire, still echoes down to us sitting here this morning. The exhortation is the same. Stay awake. And it is what Jesus asked us to do in the Gospel reading too. Stay awake to your faith for the revealing of Christ. The return of the King of Kings will come when you least expect it. And stay awake to the central tenet of your faith, that Jesus Christ was sent not to judge but to save, that through his death and resurrection the gate of glory stands open for you and me and all, just as it does for those in Corinth all those years ago. Stand firm and do not be swayed by the many differences of opinion around you. We see so much opinion and conflict in the world, all of which is largely due to differences of opinion on religious practices or to do with the idols of our day, the same idols as the Corinthian believers battled against. Unfortunately, the phrase is necessarily being used for something else now, but both Paul and Jesus are saying, stay alert, be ready. Be ready by holding fast to the grace you have in Christ, and be ready by turning to him and only him each and every day for your salvation. So much opinion and conflict, particularly on social media at the moment, and particularly about the way forward for the church now. We should be doing this, we should be doing that, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be doing that, we should go back, we should go forward, shall we go sideways or upwards or downwards? All of it, Paul is trying to say, is paraphernalia and idolatry. Don't get hung up on the minuscule details. Get hung up on the central tenet of the faith, which is that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you. That is the thing you have to hang on to. Don't worry about the rest. Hang on to that middle ground, because then that becomes the central cord of love that connects us to heaven and heaven to us. And it is in that central cord of love that God works. He doesn't work in the paraphernalia. He doesn't work in the idolatry. He works in the central core of love, which then can be spread into the rest of the world. But that's not where it starts. He starts from the central core of love in that he sent his son so that we can be saved, not judged, so that we don't perish. It's what Heather led us into our confession with. That is the central tenet of our faith, that we come to remember in bread and wine that he was broken for us, died and rose again, so that we have access to the gate of glory and to the throne of God. And yes, there will be times where life is tough. Haven't there just been times where life is tough over these months for so many people, for all of us, in one way or another? And there will be times where we get things wrong and we get bogged down in the minuscule details of things, and we look at other things as more important than that central core of love that God has given us in Christ. But it is then that we have to hang on to one another, forgive one another as we have been forgiven. Do not judge one another, for that is our Father in heaven's role. Love our God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And remember that in the tough times, the grace given through Christ will strengthen us to the end, so that we may stand blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine standing blameless before Christ simply because you hung on to that central tenet of faith? simply because you believed that the blood of Christ washes over you and washes over the world. That is the joy-filled good news of the gospel of Christ. And it is surely the shocking good news of the gospel. So we need to wake up and be shocked each and every day, like those believers in Corinth were, so that we may stay alert and stay awake and go out with joy in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus Christ strengthens us each day and will be with us until the end of the age, so that we may stand blameless before him when he returns. So stay awake and stay alert. Amen.